Alt NPR.
The following is an installment of Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org.
There's a paranoia about insignificance in the rabble to the extent of non-existence. And we're all clamoring to represent ourselves with some sense of permanence or through fame. And I think that that's a large part of the appeal of reality TV.
Max Landis is a filmmaker who spent a lot of time in the reality TV world. And he's distilled his experiences from working on hit shows like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy and Reality Fair for the Home and Garden Network into a how-to, which you can find in the May-June issue of the always amazing Res magazine. I met with Max in his Brooklyn apartment to record an audio version of his How to Create a Reality TV Show.
A Huckster's Guide to Reality TV. The very designation reality TV is in itself pretty broad. So in coming up with guidelines for its creation, we must speak in broad technical and philosophical terms. But all reality television is about, first and foremost, stripping away the facade of the real and then building it back up again. Magicians don't walk on stage expecting something beyond their control to happen, and lions weren't set free to eat people on the streets of Rome. Reality TV is a matter of containment, creating the proper arena in which your construction of reality can be confined. Assuming you don't already have open pitch with one of the cable networks churning out reality cream, you'll want to make a cheap pilot to circulate on DVD. The good thing about the reality pilot is that it doesn't have to have high-end production value. It just needs to demonstrate that you have compelling subject matter, and more importantly, a singular concept for presenting it. The second criterion is paramount, because your personal spin on a good subject is far more proprietary than your knowledge of it. Think about the successful reality shows you've watched. Very few have subjects that sound exciting on paper. Obstacle courses on an island, specialists in training nasty dogs, catalog models on blind dates. But all have a unique angle. Finding the concept. Your idea needs parameters that lend themselves to the limitations of physical production. These boundaries should be both spatial and temporal. A car chase across the country, for instance, or the launch of a fledgling business. These simple premises shoot an arrow from pitch to post-production that will guide the project with clarity for you and later for your audience. If your idea is some sprawling vox populi commentary about an entire industry, then you're trying to make a documentary. Confuse the two at your own peril. Next, you want charismatic people. The talent should pop. These are industry terms, just like mark and graft, so get used to them. They mean that your human subjects must be dynamic on camera. Searching for these people is essentially just another form of casting. If you're following the politics of a Chelsea bakery, you focus on the sexiest and most aggressive cookie monger. And if there isn't one on staff, you bring in your own ringer or find a different bakery. To you, the project may be about the mysterious cupcake-making underworld. But for everyone else, it's going to be about blonde Tone Danny from Indiana beating the odds in the big city. That leads us to the show's stakes. It's vital to define these right away. Will the shop stay open? Will the lovers stay together? Will our girl win the race? These questions become mantras when you're shooting reality, because they tell you where to point the camera. Once you've identified your budding story, you begin to impose it as an organizing principle. Say the boss gives your star employee a time-sensitive assignment to order a certain quantity of something or other. To create drama, you clandestinely order all the quantity the supplier has on hand, and then start rolling on the impending disaster as the employee figures out what to do. In other words, you stack the deck. Rolling. You need a camera operator who is story savvy. While you may be writing prospective scripts and manipulating your cast, you're still trying to promote truly spontaneous and organic events, and you need to be ready. Luck favors the prepared, as they say. This means that in addition to focusing on the scene at hand, the person holding the camera must also be able to anticipate who's about to backstab whom. As in any genre of filmmaking, camera people should know how to shoot for the cut, but it's especially important in reality because there isn't a director in the traditional sense. So much time is spent waiting, monitoring, and fishing for conflict. When it often comes fast and furious. If your camera operator doesn't have the time-honed instincts to cover the scene properly, you'll be stuck in a situation where you have to beg for reshoots or pickups from the cast. Here's an example. Things come to a head between two characters and they start screaming at each other in a tight space. Only one camera will fit, so you can't get classic cross coverage of the dialogue. A good camera op will intuit when to pan between the screamers, including silent reaction shots, so the editors can construct the scene in a natural way. If he doesn't cover the exchange properly, the scene won't cut well, and you may have to ask someone who has just stormed out of the room to come back and pretend to be yelled at. This always makes for flat material and compromises your credibility. Rapport with the cast. Few people want to be portrayed as unsympathetic and difficult, though many are. And God bless them. We need the omorosos. Unfortunately, most people also have reality formulas seared onto their brains, and like you, can identify who in the cast is the favorite and who is being set up for a fall. The trick is maintaining the illusion of an open forum in which everyone feels they can make a case for themselves. Once they've made a mistake, they'll want the opportunity to atone for it on record. Offer them the chance, and 9 times out of 10, they'll unwittingly run your hamster wheel for the duration. But this power must be wielded gently. Many nasty scenarios can develop if you're not sufficiently diplomatic and subtle. Your first defense is treating even the most grating people with respect, listening to their concerns and letting them vent, even if it amounts to unusable footage. Your next best source of leverage is the unspoken understanding that you will have the final say over how they are portrayed. But you can't hold this over their heads as a threat. It must be alluded to through the silkiest, most courteous of veils. If you screw up, you could find yourself caught in one of 3 tiers of talent mutiny. 1, a cast member becomes fixated with talking about the unfairness of the show and begins speaking directly to the camera during non-interview scenes, constantly referring to the evil producers. 2, a cast member cold shoulders you, begins sniffing out and sabotaging developing plots by sharing information with the others, and maybe even lies about things you've said, essentially reducing you to a member of the cast yourself. Or 3, the entire cast makes a pact to turn the drama down to 0 when cameras are present. Total revolt, your authority completely compromised. You must have superior people skills. And as chummy as you may get with your subjects, never, ever get sucked into intercast smack talk, because you will be quoted. The cut. You should start shaping the cut soon after you begin shooting. Because you generate so much footage in reality, any and all systems of organization you can apply will help, but at the bare minimum, have a detailed, story-minded note taker. This will probably be you or a kindred spirit who knows exactly what you're looking for. To turn your swamp of material into a quick episodic stream, you'll need detailed descriptions with timecode flags so that clips may be segregated into batches. A field or story producer who really knows how to pay attention will catch moments that can be recontextualized in advance. This means that when blonde, toned Danny stubs his toe and shrieks obscenities, you get footage to cover the beat you missed during a legitimate political blowup because your camera op was at lunch. Editing and shooting must run in tandem, because stories develop and arc over long periods. It's like watching food go by on an endless conveyor belt and squirreling away the good morsels that pass. If your project has a life beyond the pilot, you'll eventually be piecing together 3-minute stories from footage that spans 3 months. You can't go toggling your way through weeks of Danny standing idly at the cookie counter. You must be able to refer to explicitly labeled files of specifically diagnosed behavior to construct an engaging cut. Magic. There's much more to consider, including graphics, branding, legal ramifications, but this being TV, we're out of time. So let's briefly consider the big picture again, and a good method for anticipating the draw of the sideshow. The voyeuristic faux verite content you present is a magic trick. All reality shows to date have relied on formal sit-down interviews with cast members to explain the mechanics of the trick. Magicians abhor explanations, and ultimately audiences find them boring too. If you want to keep them coming back to marvel at the illusion, you should present the clearest story possible, drawing back the curtain as seldom as possible with play-by-play commentary. The first huckster to make a really engrossing hour of drama without asking Danny to rehash what just happened will be inching his way towards genuine sorcery.
That was filmmaker Max Landis reading his How to Create a Reality TV Show, which you can find in the May-June issue of Res Magazine.
You've been listening to Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org.
Alt, NPR.